the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast brought to you by NBA 2K26 with myself, Mo Mutsi, and two-time NBA champion coach Brendan Sir, who alongside me has just witnessed the greatest comeback in possibly NBA finals history, possibly NBA history. The New York Knicks down by 29 points. Come back to win it with my good brother OG Anunoby, the hero, in the dying moments of the game. Coach Sir, I mean, I couldn't even jump on a podcast straight away. I was kind of speechless after the end of that game. What's your initial thoughts?
They will look back at this night in their young lives and they'll say, I can't believe what happened to us. And it was all self-inflicted. Is that how we call it? Self-inflicted wound? Yeah. And they'll look back and they'll regret it. I don't care how many championships they end up winning. It'll be the one that got away.
Yep, absolutely. Because you're down 2-1. You've got the chance to win both games on the road, tie the series 2-2, and make it a best of three with two of those three games at home. And instead, you take your foot off the gas and the New York Knicks are one win away from becoming NBA champions. You know, a lot of people, Coach, I heard the commentator Tim Legler after the game saying, we've never seen anything like this before. I've seen things like this before. I saw the Celtics versus Knicks last year, where the Celtics would be up 20 plus points and then continue to shoot threes even when they're not falling, and the Knicks will find a way back into the game. That's exactly what happened here tonight. The San Antonio Spurs could not miss in the first half of this game. By halftime, I mean, like, the game was thrown off from the early get-go with Towns with those two early fouls. Fantastic challenge from Mitch Johnson within the first minute. One of the quickest uses of the challenge of all time. But Towns picked up two fouls early in the game. So the Spurs had all the momentum. They were on a 12-2 run to start the game. Knicks had to call a timeout. Mike Brown's going through his whole rotation. He's throwing Ariel Hakpoi in. He's throwing Jeremy Sochan in to try and guard Wembanyama. And the Spurs had Wembanyama relentlessly attacking the paint, and their shooters were... Like, let me have a look. At halftime, they were 14 of 26 from three, 60% from the field, and they were up 76-49 at the half, right? And I thought, you know, they're taking this seriously because they were up 25 points and they were doing hack a Mitch on Mitchell Robinson just to keep that lead, stop any of the other Knicks players getting the ball in their hands to get momentum, to force Mike Brown to sub him out and bring Hakpoi back into the game because he didn't want to play Towns so early with injuries. What happened during that timeout, during that halftime break? Because that is the moment when everything changed.
Well, obviously, I would love as a teacher to find out what the heck was said, if anything. But I can only blame it on their youth and say, but you know, with youth, they have a couple of guys that are veterans and they have a couple of guys that are, you know, supposed to have leadership ability. They took the worst shots of all time. They get outscored 58-30 in the second half. 58-30.
Yeah, in that second half, up until the final 4 minutes when the lead was just a 4-point game, the Knicks held the Spurs to 17.6% shooting. They were just clogging up the paint and living with the threes. And as we talked about in game one, game two, game three, some of the San Antonio shot selection and the three-pointers they choose is just abysmal.
And that's how I think they lost the game right there. I mean, there's a saying I learned when I was like 20 years old. I went to a coaching clinic and the coach there was a high school coach and he said, time and score. You have to understand time and score. Mm-hmm. And I've never forgotten it. And these guys have no idea about time and score. Mm-hmm. They just play like, you know, it's the start of a game. And then, you know, we'll go into stuff down the stretch, but they're Mr. Clutch, Mr. You know, De'Aaron Fox.
I've been saying it. I hate when I'm right, Coach. I hate when I'm right.
You know, you're much older and much more experienced than I am. You've seen the world.
Oh, the gray hairs and the beard showing up on the camera, huh? I thought I could hide them.
But I'll tell you what. I mean, there were literally things that I've never seen in a finals game.
Let's break it down. A big reason for the Knicks' comeback was the two ball handler lineup with Brunson and Alvarado. Great for the Knicks on the offensive side of the basketball. Alvarado made some huge plays. I'm watching this game, and I'm seeing two guys out there who are barely 6 foot tall against a team which has a 7 foot four guy. Are you telling me there's no way that you can force a switch and get the ball to your big man against one of the two? Take your pick, either one, little guys out there for the Knicks.
Okay, this is not meant to be, please, this is not meant to be criticism of Mitch Johnson. This is for every coach in the NBA that runs five out offense, including the Knicks. And you cannot, you know, run that and expect to target people inside. You have to run actions. You just can't run pick and rolls because what they were doing, whoever was guarding Wimby was just holding him. They wouldn't let him. They wouldn't let him run, and the referees were letting him go. So what you have to do is you have to run some actions where you can get the guy in a position. Start him down low. You got him 30 feet from the basket. I'm telling you, and I don't mind. This is not meant to be a prophet, but they're throwing so many lobs to this guy, he's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt just on the idea of spraining an ankle or something like that, because he's always reaching for ball. And it's not like these are great passes. They're just throwing the damn ball up there. And I'm really concerned about the guy, you know, for his long-term future, the way they just, you know, it was some really bad stuff, really bad stuff.
Yeah, they were red hot from three in the first half. They were 3 of 17, I believe, in the second half. In the final 9.5 minutes of the game, did you know that Jose Alvarado made more shots than the entire San Antonio Spurs team?
No.
Yeah. How about that? Let's take a look at my favorite part of the show, where we look at what happened down the stretch. Because with 2 minutes to go, it was 104-103. The Spurs were up one. Of course, we get the classic De'Aaron Fox turnover. Lucky for him, Josh Hart missed the layup on the fast break going the other way. Wemby comes back down, gets to the free throw line, misses both free throws. A lot of pressure. The fans are going crazy. They go back down. Brunson hits a floater and gives the Knicks their first lead of the night at 105-104. Right. Okay, then we go back down the other end. Castle dribbles the ball along the baseline, steps out of bounds.
Right.
And to the Spurs' credit, they had a great defensive possession after that. They forced a shot clock violation. And then they called a timeout. With 39 seconds left, Mitch Johnson had two timeouts. He says, all right, cool, I'm going to draw up a timeout. I'm going to get something off this because we can go 2-for-1 here, right? So they come back in, they go 1-4 flat. So four players go basically to the baseline and one player at the top creates a shot for himself. That was De'Aaron Fox. He gets a mid-range jumper guarded by Anunoby. He misses. And lucky for him, Stephon Castle pulled a Uno reverse on Josh Hart by crashing for the offensive rebound. He gets fouled on the offensive rebounds, goes to the free throw line, makes both of them, right? Spurs back up one, 106-105. Knicks call a timeout with 30 seconds left. Brunson misses. De'Aaron Fox has the ball on a fast break layup. Okay, time and score. You're up one with 24 seconds left in the game. Okay, now what do we do in this situation? Do we A, dribble the ball back out slowly, let them foul you, get your teammates there? Do we B, pass the ball to find a non-contested shot? Or do we C, take a contested layup that's blocked by OG Anunoby? Which one did Mr. Fox opt for?
He opted for C, and A was the correct answer.
There we go. Everybody knows if you're up and there's 24 seconds or left, or even more than 24 seconds sometimes, you just hold the ball, get the free throws, go to the line, extend the lead for three, and then worst case, you go to overtime.
And if it was a 1-on-0 fast break.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
But this is a contested shot. And I'll tell you what, the referees did a good job of, in a game like that, of not calling a foul.
And it's against one of the best defenders in the NBA. Like,
right.
I would get it if you're on a fast break against Landry Shamet or if you're against Jose Alvarado, respectfully, because those guys play good defense. But come on, man, OG Anunoby, you don't want
come
that.
Come on.
You don't want that. So anyway, after that miss, the Spurs had a foul to give, so they fouled. The Knicks call their timeout with 5.7 seconds.
Which was a very alert play, a well-coached play to take the foul.
Yep. The Knicks called a timeout with 5.7 left. Brunson takes an egregiously deep three off of that.
Yeah, let's go back, though, on that inbound play. I have no idea what the hell the Spurs were doing defensively.
Yes.
That is the most awful defensive thing I've ever seen on a last, last possession inbounds
play. If we rewind one possession before, right, when the Spurs were coming out of their timeout, they had Karl Anthony Towns, their biggest player, guarding the inbounder to disrupt the pass and make it difficult.
Yeah.
If we think back to an ironic moment in the NBA bubble where OG Anunoby hit the game winner against the Celtics actually subbed in Taco Fall. Remember Taco Fall, like 7 foot 11 or whatever he was?
I coached.
Of course. You've coached everyone.
Seven foot. No, I drafted in high in college.
Yeah.
7 foot six.
Yeah. So they subbed in Taco Fall just to guard the inbounder. So teams like to guard the inbounds with players who have a long wingspan and a lot of height to make the passing angle very difficult for the inbounder of the basketball. The Spurs, who employ a 7'5" Frenchman, decided to not do that and instead had no one guarding the inbounder. So they inbound the ball.
No, but this is the thing. They put Wimby on the foul line and had him switch out on Brunson.
Yep. I don't know if Wimby wanted the moment of locking up Brunson.
No. That was defensively coached by Sean Sweeney.
Oof. As a strategy,
So he is on Brunson.
Yep.
By himself. And so Fox comes over and double teams him. Only problem was clear shot to the basket is
no
OG.
No one guarding the inbounder, OG Anunoby, who soars in for the offensive rebounds, tip the basketball back, putting the Knicks up by one with 1.2 seconds left on the clock. Spurs call a timeout, go down the other end, sideline out of bounds play. Dylan Harper tries to throw a lob to Stephon Castle, fumbles the pass, fumbles the catch, and that is all she wrote. But OG Anunoby being open for that offensive rebound, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are so many things there at the end. And my big thing is that, you've heard me say this, the notoriety of a coach is dictated by the execution of his players under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You're a really good coach when your players execute under pressure. Tonight, Mike Brown became the better coach down the stretch. He was a horse's ass.
He has been in the first half,
right?
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean, in the first half, because you're losing, right? But now in the second half, these guys come out, they play their ass off, and then the other guy flips it, and my goodness, from a beautiful first half to one the worst half of their playoffs.
It was. I'm not often a person who is lost for words, but I struggle to have words for what the Spurs did in that second half. I can't believe it. Up 29, chance to tie up the NBA Finals. And like, I'm not a fan of either of these teams. But man, if I was a Spurs fan, I'd be crushed.
No, I get it. You know, and you and I have said from the get-go, as NBA fans, we just want to see seven games. We just want to see basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to see seven now.
Nope, we're going to see Game 5 and potentially maybe Game 6. But even then, psychologically, I don't know how the Spurs will be ready, considering they've already lost two at home to the Knicks. And now you're coming in off this. I mean, how much more fired up can you be other than losing two games at home already? Like, what have you got left in the tank?
Yeah. I mean, but, even if you win at home, they come back in the Knicks. I think now they'll be ready to go. They'll be ready to go. That's what we thought beforehand. If the Knicks were going to win it, they'd do it in six. And I thought if the Spurs were going to win it, they had to do it in seven. And they're going to have to do it in seven because six is not an option for them.
I cannot believe this game, Coach. In a night where Towns only plays 26 minutes with foul trouble, you're not going to get a better opportunity than that to beat this Knicks team in the way that they're playing. They went, 12 deep, 13 deep in the bench? They were throwing everything out there trying to find something. And then we have to commend Jalen Brunson for 36 points, 7 assists, walking the Knicks back into this game.
The man, whatever, he is such an incredible competitor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he is. He's a competitor. Things were not going good for him in that first half, but he just kept willing his way back in the second half. And, that's the magic of Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. That is and even the great fans there were speechless after the game. They can't believe what they saw.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of cool.
I saw a few people on Twitter stop watching at halftime because they were Knicks fans. Imagine being someone in the arena who left at halftime after spending, your entire mortgage on a ticket. But as great as Brunson was, it took him 25 shots to get to his 36 points. OG Anunoby, 10 of 15 for 33 points.
But Jalen's doing a good job. He's averaging 25 to 30 shots a game. Yep. So, you know, he's just, you know, he's got OG is just, I mean, he's playing like an old pro.
OG is my finals MVP so far.
Yeah. He's got a heck of a shot. He's so efficient.
He's been the most efficient. Seven of nine from three, six of six from the free throw line.
His defense is incredible.
Exactly. He's been so efficient and so consistent for this Knicks team that I'm looking at it like how Andre Iguodala got the finals MVP for the Warriors. I'm looking at this.
Yeah, which was maybe one of, and I love Iggy, but that was one of the worst MVP selections in the history of the game.
Yeah, that was Steph Curry's award. But
The
reason why I bring that up is it's not impossible because it's usually assumed that player or a second star will get a finals MVP.
And it was like, you know, when the Celtics won it, you know, and they gave it to Jaylen Brown, I thought it should have been, you know, Tatum, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it should have. But wow. Honestly, coach, wow.
I don't have a lot of
because here's the thing
wisdom right now.
Here's the thing, right? Because we can talk about the down the stretch and the lack of execution from the Spurs, which is a problem that I've spoken about on this show all the way back to their overtime matchup with Denver in the regular season, right? And I mentioned that again the other night and so on and so forth. But this game, we shouldn't be sat here talking about clutch moments. It shouldn't have got to clutch moments because you were up 29 points. It baffles me that you can allow a team to walk you down from, you scored 76 in the first half. I can't believe it. I'm stunned.
I'm not gonna, you know me with, as former vice president and interim president of our NBA Coaches Association, I'm sworn to loyalty. I'm not gonna mention the coach's name, but.
Mitch Johnson, come to the front.
No, not him. But
you're talking about John Mazzulla? Because that's who Mitch Johnson turned into tonight.
No, it's the Spurs. The Spurs should have won this series 4-0.
Yes, they could have. That's the craziest part is they literally
tomorrow,
could have.
Analytically.
Oh, our good old friend Kenny Atkinson.
I didn't say anything.
Analytically, we're doing our parade tomorrow.
I didn't say anything.
But it took me a couple guesses. We got there. Analytically, the Spurs parade is being scheduled for tomorrow night.
4-0. I mean, they literally could have won all four games.
Yeah, and even if it's not 4-0, it should be 3-1 because there's two games. Wemby passed to Castle that he wasn't looking at, that should have been a win, and this one tonight should have been a win.
Yeah, incredible, right?
It's insane.
Yeah.
Sports are insane. The NBA is insane. The Knicks are insane. I feel like New York is going to turn into Gotham City any minute now. It's just going to light up in flames. It's
absolutely incredible. You're right. The city is going to be nuts right now.
So what do you think of this, coach? The Spurs defense, they like to have Wemby playing a free safety, and they do a great job of scrambling and rotating. But OG, 7-9 from three, someone messaged me during the game, and they said, why is OG Anunoby always open? Why are they leaving him open? And I said, it's not by design that they're choosing OG Anunoby to leave open. It's whoever's on that weak side corner finds themselves open. And OG does a great job of being in the right place at the right time. Do you think the Spurs need to change their defensive strategy moving forward?
I'm going to say this. Mike Brown and staff made some really good adjustments because instead of putting Josh Hart there, they put Josh Hart out front and also took him out.
Yeah, and down the stretch, they had him in a dunker spot for a bit as well.
Yeah, and dunker spot's not a really good spot because now you can match up with him. But OG should never be alone. Never be alone. My God, never.
Well, the Spurs have blown their fifth double-digit lead of this postseason, tied for the most in a single playoff run in the play-by-play era. It's
incredible.
The Spurs did it in 2003, five times.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, but so, you know, we keep talking about, you know, the whole thing, you know, that everyone's discussed during the drive to the playoffs was you can't win a championship unless you go through the steps of losing, you know, to, you know, OKC or Denver or Dallas or back in the day, you got to go through those steps, like Chicago, Boston, Detroit, Laker. Everyone's done it. These guys kind of had a cheat code and they got all the way to the finals. This is now what's happening to them.
You know what I do like, though? The officiating, I think, has been good. They're letting them play with physicality.
And the officiating tonight was terrific.
I liked Mitchell Robinson throwing a little elbow at Wembanyama. I would have liked it if he had done it as soon as he checked into the game, but he waited until after Wemby scored on him and told him, running back down the court, he said, "I'm in your head." Yeah. And then he hit with it. But I'm here for the toughness either way. And then Wemby also got a flagrant foul.
I thought that was very weak.
The thing is now, if Wemby gets another flagrant foul,
I know.
And let's say the Spurs do win the next game, he'll be suspended for game six.
I know. See, since we're, I like to say, you and I play commissioner, or the old Joe Dumars position, James Jones now is, I think we need to change the rule. It's a terrible rule. I call it the Draymond Green
rule. Yeah, if they didn't have it in 2016, the Warriors would have won a championship.
And yeah. So here's the thing. How many games do you play in four rounds? You can go 28 games, and it's points. It's not flagrant fouls. It's how many flagrant points you're getting. So Wimby with the ejection, that's 2 points. Today's only his third. It's only his third flagrant foul. One more, the guy's suspended. That's absurd.
Yep.
It's absolutely absurd. So what we should do is, I think, two things. One, I would be in favor of each round resetting.
Yeah.
Resetting. Because, you know, you can get a flagrant foul in 7-game series. You could get several flagrant
fouls. Especially now that, like, if you're contesting a 3-point shot and your foot is in the landing area,
that's
a flagrant foul. So you
that's
could,
what I mean.
Especially when you got size 1 million feet like Wemby, he's going to get one by accident.
It's just not, it's a really bad rule. They're worried so damn much about tanking and shit, they forgot about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense. Yeah. So that's my recommendation as I get on a rules committee, I'll make that change for us.
Yeah, perfect.
Here at the Genius.
Well, Mike Brown will be happy. The Knicks won the free throw battle tonight. 28 free throws attempted compared to just 20 for the Spurs. The Knicks ended up being the better 3-point shooting team in the end, 47% compared to just 40% from the Spurs after an ice cold second half, despite being red hot in the first. And the 12 turnovers for the Spurs was really interesting because I noted down during the game in my notes, that the Spurs managed to score 59 points before they committed their first turnover of the game.
Wow.
Okay, so. Wow.
Did they have like 76 for the half points first half?
So they had a couple at the end of the second quarter, but all the turnovers came in. Like, some of the turnovers were so ridiculous as well, by the way. Like, some of them, there's one where Fox just throws the ball like, to no one. Harper is like falling behind the half court line and just throws the ball to the Knicks. Like, there's so many mistakes. And in a game that's decided by 1 point where you're up 29, one of those turnovers doesn't happen. You win the game.
You win the game. Exactly right.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly right.
I can't believe it, coach. There were moments where I was like, this is all over. Like when Carter Bryant was on the fast break and he scores the alley-oop and the Knicks aren't even back on defense.
Phenomenal.
And that wasn't even a real fast break. That was after a made basket. I'm like, wow, like they're crushing them. They're going to blow them out, then go back to San Antonio with all the momentum of the series and the Spurs are going to win the championship. And like they figured out, because what the Knicks have been doing throughout the series is they're tagging with the high man on the pick and roll, right? So Wemby's rolling to the basket, they'll help in. And the Spurs have figured that out by throwing the skip pass over the top to the open wing where the guy's helping from. However, in the second half, those shots just didn't go down. But it's blown my mind. They were 2 of 14 at the rim in the second half tonight. Wembanyama was 1 of 8 at the rim. The looks he was getting at the rim weren't great. As you said, there were a lot of plays.
They're all
taps. Which is like crazy lobs that they're just expecting him to go up and get like go-go gadget. There was a stretch where he was like 1 of 11. And you're watching this and it's just, it's mind-blowing.
And so you have to have, as a coach, down the stretch of every game, you have to understand, how do I get my best player shots? And I used to keep it the size of a small index card, a 3x5 in my back. Then we wore suits. You know, we actually dressed up for games. And and I had on there, I had 5 plays for every guy on my, every position on my team. So if Isaiah was hot, if Dumars is hot, Vinny Johnson, plays for every guy in case someone. We're just playing, and all of a sudden, then guys think they're open. Except there's 20 seconds on the shot clock, and we're taking a 3-point shot.
Yep,
and helping them out.
The Spurs have no playbook going down the stretch. Like,
that's my point.
Like, at what point are you going to start coming up with something? It's the NBA Finals. If you've not got it ready by now, then when are you ever going to have it ready? Like, yeah, sure, Mitch Johnson did a great job, but he's been thoroughly outcoached by Mike Brown in this through four games. The coach is going to say no comment, but I'll say it for him. He's been thoroughly outcoached, and like this has been a problem throughout the regular season as well. If I can see it as a normal human, I'm pretty sure an NBA coach can see it. And I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Champagne struggled again tonight, just 1 of 7 from three. Dylan Harper, fantastic, 21 points off the bench. Fox was good up until the final 5 minutes, which makes no sense for a former clutch player of the year.
Harper was so great in the first half, and then he's an afterthought in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy I would have with the ball, taking control of the game. I think he's there outside of Wimby. He's the best player on their team.
Without a doubt. And he should have taken all those Champagne minutes in the second half.
And Castle's the second best player.
Castle, only 2 of 7, but he was 8 of 8 from the free throw line, being aggressive, getting to the hoop, doing what he does. And his relentless defense was fantastic. But as I've said 100 times already on this show, Coach, I have no words for this. I can't believe what we saw on the biggest stage. The San Antonio Spurs, who looked like they were starting a dynasty, transformed into the 2025 Boston Celtics. I cannot believe this.
We will look back on this when the Hoop Genius Hall of Fame, and say we did a show on the most memorable finals playoff game of all time.
Wow. Wow.
We made history tonight, brother.
That it's wild.
Infamy history.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's wild. Like, we're going to wrap this up. I can't think of what to say. This is so ridiculous.
I don't want to pile on, but on Saturday night, they better have their A game or else they're not getting back to New York.
That's a fact. I'm on the call on Amazon Prime on Saturday night. So I'll be there guiding you through the game. If you're in any English speaking territory outside the USA, unfortunately, if you're in the USA, you have to watch it on ESPN, ABC. But the rest of the world, we get to enjoy. And we'll see if the Spurs have anything left to give, or if they're, you know, if this is just going to take all the wind out of their sails. And
they're lucky they have 2 days to recover.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
it's a travel day.
Tomorrow's a mental health day.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. That's what we used to call it. Tomorrow's a mental health day. No practice, no nothing, in my opinion, you know, because I think they're flying back right now.
Yeah.
And so they'll get in at 4 a.m. and at least.
Well, I'll end the show with a funny story for you, Coach.
Oh, I like funny stories.
See, last week I became one of the most popular men in the world. That's not even the funny part yet.
No, water went down the wrong pipe, as they say.
Okay. Oh, everyone in the world was asking me if I can get them Knicks tickets for games 3 and 4. Okay. And I was looking at it like this, right? And Coach, there were some women in my inbox, some of the most beautiful women, models. They would never usually talk to me. Like, I understand. I do great with the ladies. But there are some that I'm like, no, this is crazy. So they're messaging me asking for Knicks tickets, right? And I'm looking at the series and I'm like, well, the Knicks have won 2 on the road. Surely they're going to sweep the Spurs. So I'm like, I can't do games 3 and 4. Holler at me for game 6. Because in my head, I'm like, game 6 is never going to happen. So now, I'm going to really need the Knicks to win game 5.
I don't mean to burst your bubble, my young child. Okay, but these great, beautiful women were asking you for tickets, but they didn't say they were bringing you with them.
I don't care who they go to the game with. It's where they go after the game, Coach.
Well, you're not going to be with them because you're going to be in London doing this podcast with me, brother.
Go to the game and get to JFK. By the time I finish the podcast, your flight will have landed.
I told her, come over and we'll watch the game on Prime together. Oh, God. That'll be the closest your little ass will get to the game.
I was in the Discord. I was in the Hoop Genius Discord the other day, and like, one of the guys in the Discord was like, oh my God, it's so tense in here.
I thought you said the Hoop Genius Disco. We have a disco.
Discord server. It's like a social media thing, right, Coach? Because I know you don't have Discord. But one of the guys in the chat was like, oh, it's so tense in here. And I was like, yo, are you at the game? He goes, no, I'm just in a sports bar. Like, obviously, I couldn't afford tickets to the game. I said, bruv, if you were at the game, I was going to ask you to buy the podcast. Like, what are you doing in Discord if you're at the game? If you got Knicks tickets money, brother, help me out. I got bills to pay.
We're very selective, though. We're very selective on who we're going to let be investors.
If anyone is a fan of the show and has the money to afford tickets to Madison Square Garden for the finals, I can assure you, selectiveness is
gone. Selective. We didn't say we're going to vet you very seriously, but yeah. Oh God.
Yeah. On the off chance, any rich billionaires out there are listening and you enjoy the show, please do get in touch.
Please,
I have about 200 women who are asking for tickets for game six.
Please do. We have three games to go, possibly.
Lead a series three games to one win 95% of the time. Now, we just saw the most insane comeback in NBA history in a single game. But if the Spurs come back from 3-1 in this series, that might be the most insane comeback ever.
If they come back from a 3-1, I quit the podcast.
Deal.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Deal. Right? That's all. Because that means I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
It means
about.
None of us have any idea what we're talking about.
No idea. Hey,
that's another episode, another game.
I wish everyone well. I hope they play. I hope we have a good game.
Do you know what I have? I was thinking about this earlier. Fingers crossed. I've really enjoyed this series because there's been no injuries. We've seen everyone healthy out there, which is kind of rare for an NBA Finals and NBA playoff runs these days.
Yeah. We had in both of our finals things, Lakers got major injuries. And then when we beat Portland, Rodman sprained his ankle and played one game.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy how it works.
It's rare how we've had a good series so far. Fingers crossed that continues. I'll continue my campaign for OG Anunoby to be the finals MVP. And we'll be back after game five with another breakdown of what happens there. It might be a Knicks championship celebration. It might be the Spurs finally stop messing around and win the game that they're meant to win. And then we'll keep it going.
So here's a stat that just came in. Teams were 0-96 in NBA Finals games since 1970-71 season when trailing by 17-plus points at any point in the final 9 minutes of regulation. How about that?
We witnessed history, Coach. We did it.
It's incredible.
One of the worst meltdowns I've ever seen. And I mean, it's going to be interesting how this is looked at, the way that people look at LeBron's 2011 for his meltdown in the finals. I wonder how this is going to impact how people talk about Victor Wembanyama, because the tide already started to change on him in the public opinion and the media opinion in these last couple of games. Because obviously there's a lot of Knicks fans out there and people are trying to paint him as the villain now. So it's just so interesting that young stars get so much love when they come into the league. And then if they can't win immediately, everyone will turn on them eventually. So that's interesting to me. But to San Antonio we go for game number five.
Well, I'm going to say this. Having been a resident and having been an employee of the Knicks for several years, if the Knicks wins, no one gives a damn about anything else. They don't care about the Spurs or anything. This will be one of the greatest things to happen to the NBA in half a century.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just will, because they've been craving for 53 years for it.
Yep.
And so that'll be the thing that and that's the reason I really would like them to, since they're at a 3-1 spot, I would like to see them wrap it up.
Well,
from a personal standpoint.
I saw Wu-Tang performing at halftime of tonight's game. And
I figured that was one of your groups.
It's actually one of BJ's groups because it's the generation older than mine, but Wu-Tang Love the Kids. So, you know, but I still rock with them. But I was watching and I was like, these guys are so legendary. They deserve better than performing at Madison Square when the Knicks are getting their ass kicked. And it inspired the Knicks in the second half. So maybe they need to bring Wu-Tang in for the next game and just keep them at halftime for every game.
And they had Cardi B.
B, not D's. Shout out to Charles Barkley.
Absolutely incredible.
I agree. I agree.
She was the MVP so far in the series.
And with that, make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. Coach, I'm going to send you one of these ones from my DMs who looks a little bit like Cardi B. Just make sure you got Game 6 tickets ready.
I'll go in and show my wife when we go to bed.
Until next time.
This is who we did the podcast with tonight, honey. Yeah, she's the MVP of the game.
You better take your pillow and get to the sofa, Coach. You're sleeping in the doghouse tonight.
Oh, don't say that to my poor doggies.
Yeah. Until next time. Unlike the Spurs in the second half, get buckets.
Oh.